Prabhupada was saying that one of his fathers that filled with an incredible gift of wisdom. You know, in my 40 days in the monastery, a Buddha came to visit me. So I kidnapped him and I took him to my room. I locked the door and I sat him down and I asked him for advice and I wouldn't let him go. The advice he gave me, I still think about and practice to this day. We are very blessed. You know, a Buddha comes from the St. Abinul Church in Blacktown, which is a very busy church. On a Friday night, he has so many activities going on. So to leave all of that and be here is a big sacrifice for this church. Also, you know, tomorrow they're ordaining a new priest in Blacktown. A servant named Adib will be ordained a priest. So you can imagine how much preparation is required. A Buddha has left it all to be with us here. So please cherish everything he says tonight. And thank you so much for joining us and blessing us.
I'm the one who learned from him during 50 days. He learned from me. I learned from him. I learned from the father. Actually, we learn every day from the fathers of Samai's church. It's wonderful to be here. We had the blessings of Abuna Mark a few times. And we actually had the blessings of Abuna Jonathan, Abuna Austin, Abuna Oud, even Abuna Oud came a few times. So I felt so bad when Abuna asked me to come on again. You know, it's the thing of now, I owe you a lot. So it's blessings for me to be here. Thank you for having me today. Today I think the theme you have is Out of This World, which is very interesting theme. And I think today the talk mainly is about how to enjoy the world without being like getting the world to live within you, kind of thing. Am I on the right track here? Yeah. So basically, this is the heart of Christianity. This is the heart of Christianity, which is very sadly, a lot of people live their spiritual life years and years. They live in the church, they come to church a few times a week, and they still can't have this joy. And that's why a lot of people don't stay in the church. You know, sometimes we baptize little children, they grow up in the church, and then, you know, the church becomes a place to socialize, a place to meet others, a place to have friends, a place to, you know, just when you sick of being at home, you just tell them at home, I'm going to church, so that's, you know, you can go. So it's, but if they don't build up a personal relationship with the Lord, until they get the right thing, forget. In other words, if they don't enjoy the Lord's presence before they get their driving license, then they will not stay in church. And this one thing actually I like about Samai's church, because in Samai's church they work, the fathers and the servants, they work very hard on building that personal relationship between you guys and the Lord. And that's why you're not here, because there's nowhere else to go. You are here because you have a calling to be there. And this is what Christians is all about. So that's why it is so important to get something out of the spiritual practices that we do. It's so important to enjoy my Bible, to enjoy my prayer, to enjoy my free prayers, to enjoy my mass, to enjoy my tasbih. It's so important to enjoy these things, because if I don't enjoy these things, it's the world can offer me so many other things. So many other things can make me happy for a while, but it doesn't last. Why it doesn't last? I'll tell you a story about a servant. He said it himself when he was when he first became a committed Christian. He was a young man. They lived in a very very, let's say, you know the King's Cross? Yeah, similar area in Egypt called Charam Muhammad Ali. It's very similar to the King's Cross. Very similar. The Egyptian King's Cross. Yeah. So his father, he had very committed Christian parents, but his father didn't realize that they were living in such a bad area. And he said that he started smoking when he was at the age of 8 or 9, something like that. And he started maybe trying drugs at the age of 11 or 12. And he was exhausted. And his father didn't know what to do with him. So his father decided to move to another area, which was too late, because he already, you know, formed that personality that enjoys the world and things in the world. And then, in order to tease his father, according to him, you know, in Egypt the designs for the flats in Egypt is quite different than here. You know, here you have the entrance, you have the lounge, you have dining, you have, after that you have bedrooms, you know, like in separate areas. But in Egypt you have a lounge, and from the lounge there is bedrooms, you know, like you go to the bedrooms from the lounge. Most of the old flats in Egypt like that. He said his father used to wake up in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, and say a prayer for every one of them at his bed, and then sit down at the lounge and read his Bible. In order to tease his father, he used to bring prostitutes to the house, 5 o'clock in the morning, in the time when his father wakes up in order to pray, and take him to his bedroom in order to tease his father. And so many times he said to his father, why did you kick me out? Why don't you kick me out? All my friends, their parents kicked them out. Why don't you kick me out? And his father was telling him, I'll never let go of you. You are my son, and I will never let go of you. And then after that, he was a musician. This area is very well known of, you know, with the oud, you know, the oud. It's very similar to the guitar, Egyptian instrument. And he was very talented with that. He was very talented with music. And then he started to write his own music. And he started to, you know, like try to become a registered musician in the Egyptian radio, which is something very prestigious in Egypt. You know, to be registered as a musician in the, you know, in the Egyptian radio, that's something like it can open for him so many doors and can, you know, benefit him in so many ways. So he met his brother that day in the morning and said to him, what's your father is praying for these days? He said to him, my father is praying that, you know, that things don't work very well for you, so that you can get back to God. He said, he just laughed and he left. He went and he said that he was waiting for his turn to, you know, to just play his own music in order for them to. It's like an exam, an interview with an exam. He couldn't remember any of his music. He just couldn't remember any of them, you know, and his turn's coming closer and closer and closer, and he wouldn't remember one piece of his own music. And then he just had to leave. Of course, that was from God, because he was planning to say his name in a way, to take all the Christian names from his name in order to look like Muslim. And when they asked him for religion, he was planning to say Muslim. You know, because if he said Christian, forget it. In Egypt, everything, you know, in ID, everything, they have to write your religion. So he was planning to, actually that day, to say that he's Muslim. And That's why God allowed this. So he came back to his dad, his sons, and he grabbed them by his neck. And he said to him, do you think if your Christ, you know, does this to me, I'm going to look at him? I'm not going to look at him, I'm not going to look at you. And he spat in the face of his father. And he left. His father did not give up on him. But his father used to ask him a question all the time. Are you happy? He always used to say to his dad, yes, I'm very happy. But deeply, he said, I was never happy. I was practicing sins, I was, you know, to so many people, I was enjoying the world, but inside me, I was very miserable. And he started to join a band. These bands, they in Egypt, they have these bands, they go to have special parties in people's, like, houses and you know, like, it's just the private bands. They play privately for people at homes. There's huge big homes in Egypt. So he joined this band, and still they don't know that he's Christian. And one day he said, we went to a place. I could see so many icons, saints icons. And we were playing music, and people were taking drugs, and it was, you know, like a lot of things were happening, a lot of things, you know, were going on. So he went to the man that owns the place, his place, and he said to him, I just can ask you something. He said, yes. He said, are you Christian? He said, yeah. He said, yeah, I can see. But is this like, how does that go? You know, like, how can you do all these things? And because his father, according to his father, you can't do that. You can't, you know, do the wrong thing and enjoy the pleasure of the world and become a Christian. He said to him, oh, no, this is very simple. Come, I'll show you something. He took him into a room and he opened the Bible for him. He said, look, Jesus, he says, I came for you to have life and to have it more abundantly. So that's it. He said, what do you mean? He said, that's it. The Lord came for us to have, you know, like this life and enjoy it. And so he said to him, so I can do all these things and I can see still. You mean Christian? He said, of course. He said to him, okay, I'll ask you one more question. If you answer this question to me, I'm going to be your servant for the rest of my life. And your son. Are you happy? The man started crying. He said to him, I'm the most miserable person in the world. He said, when the man told him that, he went out, he left the place. He started walking down the streets. It was about 3-4 o'clock in the morning. He said, I was just screaming and shouting and banging cars and banging walls, and I was losing it completely. He said, I don't know how I got home, but anyway, I got home around 5 o'clock in the morning. And I just hit my bed, and still the whole thing, processing the whole thing, you know, on my mind. And then I heard my father coming saying the short prayer that he used to say every day when he wakes up. And he said, I heard my father saying, Lord, if you take him, and he lies, I believe that you will bring him back and let him repent and then take him again, because you promised. He said, I couldn't resist the faith of this man anymore. Just couldn't resist it. So he got up. His father didn't know that he was away. He got up and he said to his father, talk to me about your Christ. You know who that person is? That's Mayor Fez. Have you heard of Mayor Fez? He's a person who always says, his life is devoted now to Christ. He came to Sydney a few times, I think. I haven't seen him in Sydney, but I heard him a few times. And privilege. So, the whole idea here is, what do you get out of your spiritual practice? Are you enjoying being with the Lord? Because if you're not, it's very hard to convince you to stay here. You know, it's very hard to push myself. The fathers say to us, the start, the beginning of the spiritual life is to push myself. Fantastic. Yes, this is the beginning. This is the beginning. But you can't push yourself for the rest of your life. You cannot do that. You cannot push yourself to pray. You cannot push yourself to come to church. You cannot push yourself to attend a meeting. You cannot push yourself to read your Bible. That's a disaster. I cannot do that. So that's why you have to enjoy being with the Lord. Have you enjoyed being with the Lord? See, the problem with so many people that they don't give the Lord a chance. They don't give him a chance. See, you can talk to one of your friends. I said to myself, you know, I put on a lot of weight. So I said to myself, you know, I'm gonna exercise, I'm gonna do something about it. And I went on a cruise actually with my family. First time in 3 years, and I didn't have one day off in 3 years. So after 3 years, I went on a cruise with my family. My sister convinced my children, and that was it. So we went on a cruise, and I was praying that I don't find any Egyptians on the cruise. And God listened to my prayer, which is very unusual. I just saw one person, Egyptian person on the cruise. I said to him, you know, and I knew him. I said to him, you know what? He said, yes. I said to him, what you see as if you didn't see. So I was in my shorts, you know, on my t-shirt all the time. I used to wake up 6 o'clock in the morning, not to pray, to go to the gym. And I was, you know, going on a treadmill like crazy. Then I wake myself again, there's nothing happening. Anyway, so I said, that's it, I'm gonna keep doing that. And you know, when you walk on the deck on the top, you know, there is you can walk or run or whatever. And I'm walking, you know, very power walking. All these people, 60 and 70 years old, they're passing me. I'm thinking, oh my God, what is wrong with me? And then finally I found 100 years old couple, and I passed them. I felt good about it. So anyway, I came back and I said, that's it, I'm going to keep doing that. I'm not going to stop doing that. I said to, you know, my wife and my kids, once I walk inside the house, I'm going to take this off in order to see the real thing. What's behind this? I'm taking this off. Once I step into this house, I'll take it off in order to see what's happening. So I said to myself, okay, that's it. While I'm on the phone at home, I'm going to walk. And guess what? Yesterday, I walked for 2.5 hours. I was on the treadmill for 2.5 hours. 2.5 hours. At the end, the person was on the other end saying, "Who are you?" Please finish.
I'm gonna collapse.
So I realized, you know, to talk on the phone for 2.5 hours, and to eat for about, I don't know how long it takes us to eat, and to sleep and have a shower and to pray and to do this and do that. Definitely you can make time to give God a fair go in order to reveal to you how wonderful it is. This is the whole point. It's not about pray certain prayers or do certain things. I don't like giving, you know, people certain things to do. Just be in the presence of God. Whatever works for you, do it. Some people enjoy Psalms, some people enjoy the Bible, some people enjoy New Testament, some people enjoy epistles, some people enjoy Old Testament, Isaiah, free, whatever works for you, do it. But give God a chance in order to reveal himself to you. I'll tell you a story about this. When I first became a priest, a young man came to me, he's from church, and he said to me, Buna, I just want you to help me with something. I said, yes. He said, I'm atheist. He said, what? He said, I'm atheist. But no one knows I'm atheist. At that time, you know, it was not as open as now. We're talking 22 years ago. He said to me, I'm, you know, born Catholic Orthodox, I'm, you know, everything. No one knows about this, but I'm atheist. I don't believe in God. I said to him, look, there's two ways of getting to know God. One way is through theology. And if you, after this, I'm not the right person to, you know, I can send you someone else because I'm not really good at this. But if you want to know God, the God that I knew and I love and I feel his presence in my life every day, then what can do? He said to me, I fail to find God because, you know, like that type of thing. So I would rather to do that with you. I said, yeah, okay. So I started to tell him, tell God, God, if you are there, then reveal yourself to me. It took me a month to convince him to say these words. Because he used to tell me, how can I talk something that doesn't exist? I tell him, well, what I'm saying is, you say, God, if you are there, then reveal yourself to me. He said, God, I feel like an idiot. Don't talk into the air. It took me a month, honestly, to convince him to do that. Anyway, that guy was very, he was very genuine. Very genuine. You know, like, sometimes we think of atheists as, you know, people with no morals and... That guy was very, very genuine. He really wanted to know the truth. So, he came to me once with an icon of St. Mary, wearing an icon of St. Mary. Is this an icon of St. Mary, or this is some kind of, you know, Buddhist thing that I'm not aware of? I said, no, this is something. I said to him, oh, okay, so what happened? Because I know this guy wouldn't do anything that doesn't want to do it. And I never even asked him to do that. He said to me, last night, I had a dream. I had a dream that I'm in a very depressing place. Very depressing place. And there's so many things in this place and very ugly looking creatures trying to grab me into a hole. And that hole, to me, feels like this is hell. And they grab me and I try to, you know, with all this broken furniture to keep them here and there, nothing happens. But it was an icon of St. Mary. Every time I put this icon up, they run away from me. I put it down, they run after me. So I woke up very, very exhausted, and mom bought me this when I was young, so I just put it on. It's okay, that's good news. And then he started to tell God, God, if you exist, then let me see an ant. And he said to me, I found, like, you know, the ants when they go in thousands, you know, like this, on a line, one line. He said, on the quilt cover, I saw like a thousand ants going from here to there. You know, he said to me, God, if you exist, let no car pass for 2 minutes. He used to live on Canterbury Road. He said to me, 5 minutes. Oh, no car for, not 2 minutes, 5 minutes, no cars. 3 o'clock in the morning, God, if you are there, let me hear an aeroplane. There's curfew for aeroplanes in Sydney after 11 or 12 or something. 3 o'clock in the morning, I said, helicopter, you know, going, going. Until one day, he came to me and he said, I want to have confession. I said, what? He said, I want to have confession. He said, okay. He said to me, do you know why? I said, well, if you want to tell me, okay. He said to me, I went to this church to socialize with his friends, you know, after the meeting, outside, as usual. And this priest came to me and he said to me, it's time for confession. So he said that this is not a dream, this is real. He said to that priest, I don't think I'm going to be silenced. He said, no, it's you. I said to him, I don't think so. I think you are. I think someone else. He said to him, your name is written here. And he said to me, he opened a diary, and my name is written with the family name as well. He said to me, it's time for confession. And he said to me, I tried to look for this priest. At that time, there were about 20 priests in Sydney. Certainly, I looked for this priest everywhere. There's no one looks like this priest. So I realized that God wants me to start his confession. This guy, after a while, the amount of joy he has, the amount of, you know, how many times God revealed himself to him, so many ways, so many times, that he was planted in the church of the Lord. So the whole idea is, it's not praying to God in order to have marks in the HSC and I don't. It's not that I do a contract, because under his contract, if I do this, and God will do that, and if he doesn't do that, that means he's cheating me. It's not like that. It's much more than that. All these things are good to do.
Superman coming to save us. Is it okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I think God's scared of me.
I'm scared of this one. I'm sorry.
So, it's really important to enjoy the life of God. Life of God is not, it's not miserable. I always say, I was just yesterday, we met with some of you guys. Last night, we had the formal for our year 12, and then they asked to go to Brighton after, so we went there. We stayed till that's 4:30. Not like we did. Person, you know, to marry a person in the church. And the guy said to me, why? I said, you really want to know why? He said, yes. I said, because you're so boring. He said to me, what do you mean? I said, you see, this is the problem. You find spiritual people are very boring. You know, and unspiritual people are a lot of fun. This is very wrong. Shouldn't be like this. No, a spiritual person should be a lot of fun, because you should be enjoying life with God. You should be enjoying what you're doing. You should be enjoying the church, enjoying the sacraments, enjoying the company of believers, enjoying, you should be on fire, you should be happy. So it's very hard, you know, for people. But if I want to know the Lord, if I don't know the Lord, I want to get to know the Lord. I don't want to see the Lord through someone miserable. I will never see the Lord through someone miserable. And that's what a lot of parents do, or servants do in the church. Yes.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
Do you
But wouldn't they say, like, the closer you get to God, the more aware of your sin you are? So, like, but wouldn't it, like, to be more saddened the more aware of your sin that you are?
That's in your bedroom. Not outside. That's in your bedroom. That's during deliberation. That's during, you know, confession. Not when you deal with others. Like, what happens, you know, I'm aware of my sins. I start to become more humble. I'm starting to become, you know, very, if you can say, broken even sometimes. But, you know, never leave the Lord safe. Never. You know, that's why Father Joshua Kemp used to say about the sinner woman, he used to say half of her tears, you know, crying over her sins, and the other half rejoicing for the forgiveness of the Lord. So you never leave the Lord miserable. You know, when you look at the Bible, all the people that they met with, the resurrected Christ, never went the same direction. You know, the two disciples of Emmaus, you know, they once their eyes were opened and they realized it's the Lord, they came back straight away, walked how many hours? St. Peter, it's when John said, it is the Lord, jumped from the boat, and then he turned and he came back. You know, no one needs the resurrected Lord and stay the way they are. They turn around, let their life turn around. This turning around should be happening on a daily basis. On a daily basis, the Passover that we do in the Passion Week, it should happen on a daily basis. This Passover of, you know, the sin and the broken and, you know, what, down there and then resurrected, that should happen on a daily basis. You know, when you read the gospel of the, you know, the before sleeping prayer and say, now, you Lord, you know, let your servant depart in peace because my eyes have seen your salvation, do not let your day pass without seeing the salvation, without being feeling that you have a big hug from the Lord saying, it's all right, it's okay. Still there, still love you, come on. That's how it works. But, you know, to be constantly down, that will definitely cause a very low self-esteem, which is not good. So the conversation ended that the boys realized, you know, that, yeah, they have to do something about, you know, being spiritual doesn't mean being born. You know, it doesn't mean being born at all. You know, being spiritual means that you are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. That means, you know, wherever you go, it's just, you make people happy. You make people happy. Actually, I met a lady that we used to work together before I became priest. I didn't see this lady for 22 years. I haven't seen her for 22 years. And I saw her in the lift. I looked at her and said, yeah, that's definitely her. Then I called her, and we just, I'm not exaggerating if I say we talked for about half an hour. And then after that, when she introduced me to her partner, it was another an hour and a half. And we were talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking. And we had so much fun that he wants to come to our church. The number of people I met on the cruise that they really interested in our church were so many of them. Why? Because they met me in the lobby, listening to light music, listening to, they, believe it or not, they were playing The Wall, you know, Pink Floyd, anyone?
I'm as old as you, yeah.
So I couldn't believe it, you know, I'm listening to the Pink Floyd, The Wall, and really enjoying it, you know, like, that's something I didn't listen to for about 30 years or something. And then this guy approached me, are you Orthodox? Yeah, I'm like, yeah, me too. And then, imagine if I'm, you know, going like this and, you know, like, no one would talk to me. No one would talk to me. So it starts there and then I go somewhere. So that's why enjoying life with God, as long as the life with God is the background music of your life, that's it. You know, when you sometimes when you study, you just want to listen to some music in the background, or you know, whatever you're doing. Just let God be the background music of your life. In whatever you do, just always remember, hey Lord, you will be rejoiced. You will enjoy your life under God's umbrella. So life with God is so much fun. So much fun. Actually, when we had the opening for the youth center, we have a youth center. I hope you guys realize, Abuna, come on. The youth center. We have, Abuna came and saw part of it. We have like indoors facilities, and we're building another building that eventually. When we had the opening, you know, they started to write on that canvas, you know, like that, whatever they want to write. And what really, the most, you know, writing that I really liked was, life is so much fun at Santa Cruz Church. I really like that. That's what I want to see. I want to see people coming to church, enjoying being in the church, enjoying each other's company. I see that here, that's for sure. Everyone knows that this is the case in some ways. And that's why you guys here. So that's why enjoy being with everyone. It's not a matter of, you know, the world can offer you so many things, but you know what? Doesn't last. By the way, I was in church choir when I was young. I was not in church as you, just a, you know, and not praise the easy. Pink Floyd. But, and I've seen, you know, so many things. I really, someone even told me, actually the priest that used to be my priest when I was young, when he found out that I'm going to Egypt to become priest, because at the time we didn't have a vision, he said to my mom, I want to see him. And he saw me, and my mom said, well, I said, no. No. He couldn't believe that this. That's why I always say to the youth, if I can become priest, he think this will be. And then he asked me, what happened? I said to him, I don't know. Once God grabs you, once he grabs you, that's it. You know, you don't feel like doing anything else. Believe me, for a period of time, I didn't want to get out of the monastery. I got stuck actually in fasting for about 3 years. You know, I was when we went to the monastery for 40 days, I stayed like I didn't want to leave the monastery. Once you get stuck with God, once you enjoy, once He opens your eyes in order to see how wonderful He is, all these things in the world become very trivial. Very trivial. But again, it's not a matter of pushing, pressuring, because you know what I see is a lot of people, their comfort zone is down there, and then they feel so bad, so they say, I need to go confession. They go confession, just go up on the water, you know, just pray, and then come back down again to the bottom, and then they say, no, I feel so bad, no, I need to confess. So they go back, confession, feel good about themselves for a while, and then sink back again. It's not going to work. Something has to change. You have to be nourished. You have to enjoy what you're doing. If you're not enjoying what you're doing, spiritual practices you're doing, talk to God. Tell me, am I doing something wrong? Maybe you're not spending enough time with yourself. Maybe your mind's not clear enough when you spend quite time with yourself. Maybe, I don't know. But if you do spend enough time with yourself, if you really give God a chance, like you give a chance to phone calls and to your phones and to your, you know, like social media and all these things, if you give God a fair go, you will enjoy God's presence. May the Lord grant us all spirituals in you. And enjoy life. Enjoy life under His umbrella.
Thing, you have one as well, so please ask questions. There's one here.
That's a good one. That gets you one way.
Oh, but I actually have a question. You know how you're saying let people know that you enjoy your life? You know, what happens when people don't think you as a Christian? Like, if you, for example, you go out and you do whatever you do, and then they're like, oh, what are you doing on Sunday? And you're like, oh, I'm going to church. They're like, oh, I didn't think you as one of those people. Is that like a bad thing that they don't recognize how, like, like, or is it, you know,
actually, because the impression they have that church people are boring people. So when they see you like this, they say, oh, that's different. And that's when they start to question themselves. Like, I had this lady at work. She used to keep my bus. I don't know why. She used to keep from the church for no reason. I don't know. I think you know. She was not God, she was ungodly, completely ungodly. And, you know, I was known in the company as, you know, when they swear in front of me, they say, oops, sorry, you know, like, I never told them not to, but they just feel uncomfortable saying dirty jokes in front of me or swearing in front of me or whatever. So this lady used to really hit me. And then when I'm leaving work because I'm talking crazy. So she came after lunch. She was a bit, you know, like tipsy. Yeah, she had a few drinks. And she looked at me and she said to me, you're a good boy. And then she gave me a hug and she was crying. And said to me, you're a good boy. She gave me help for 5 years. At least, you know, even people don't appreciate you, within them they do appreciate you. They just don't say it, but they do appreciate what you are. That's, you know, I think it's of course. Like, I remember some of the youth, like in our church, on their birthdays, I give them CDs, like music. And I remember one mother came to me once and said, wow, very angry with you. Like, you gave my son a CD. I said, yeah, it's clean music, you know, like, it was illegal or something, really, you know, really important. And they just said to me, they listen to hymns on Rasta. Oh, you are retarded, man. And you know, once this lady, she had two sons. One of them was very close to me. I used to give him CDs. So every time he comes into the car, I wouldn't have any music. I said, oh, I know that I never have hymns in my car. I have music. So he said, yeah, sure. Yeah. And he goes, I love Spanish. I love Italian. I love anything but English. You know, French, English and Arabic. I don't listen to English and Arabic. I listen to anything I don't understand. Yeah, in order to just enjoy the music, I don't want to understand the words. So these two, the one that I used to give him plain music until he listens to English, the other one, not only knows what he listens to. So it's so important for us to be open-minded. And at the same time, just keep focused. You know, I'm not saying just do whatever comes on your mind, just be focused. Keep being focused. But there's nothing wrong with having fun, there's nothing wrong with enjoying your time. Just make sure that you're not addicted to anything. Any other questions? Thank you very much, guys, for having me tonight. And I'm sorry for being late. I'm not usually late, but as I would have said, we have an ordination tomorrow. I try to be a little nice, so I have to go to church first, but then I'm still going there to be. We need 3 more.
We'll just stand up.